their temple in New York, and even from when he was very, very new devotee, he was very musical. And I requested him to make this recording specifically for this course that I gave 11 years ago. And so if you go to Vrindavan and you see Rati, you can thank him for making this nice recording. So it's just, this is not singing in refrain. He sings, you sing. You have to sing along with him. Just going to sing it through once and then go back to the stanza at the very beginning, the first verse, and then we'll discuss the song. So take a look on someone's song sheet.
Should we sing also?
Yeah, sing along.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Doya Gori Vapashata Sriyadha
we sang it through several times and very mood setting. Nice. So you have the translation to that song on that same page. He's glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to this world to teach by his own life's example, not just words, but a living example of how to surrender to the personality of Godhead. Very mercifully, as he distributed Krishna prema very liberally, atyanta durlabha preme, it's very difficult to achieve the stage of prema bhakti. But very mercifully, he distributed that to all. And to achieve that prema bhakti, one has to enter into the process of surrender. So in verses 3 and 4, the limbs of bhakti are identified. Dainya is the first one. Dainya means humility. Atmanivedana, full self-surrender. Goptritve Bharana is understanding the Supreme Lord as one's maintainer. Abhasha Rukhive Krishna, feeling that Krishna is my protector. Abhasya Rukhive Krishna Vishwas Palana, bhakti anukul matra. So anukul and pratikul. Anukul means accepting. So accepting things that are favorable for the devotional service to Krishna. And pratikul is the opposite, rejecting things unfavorable. Who can think of a verse that it's very common for Gaudiya Vaishnavas where the word anukul appears? Anukul. Anukul. Ring any bells? Ravi Yovana's hand is up. Anukul. Where is that verse from? Nectar of Devotion. What does the verse say? Definition of uttam bhakti, pure devotional service. And that in that definition, we have both pratikul and anukul. The first half is pratikul, what you reject. Anya abhilash shunyam jnana karma janavritam. That's pratikul. Abandonment of certain things. So the certain things is desires apart from Krishna. Anya abhilash shunya. And what kind of desires specifically? Jnana and karma. Speculative knowledge and fruitive activities. Anavritam. Eradicated completely. Well, if I don't have those things, then what do I have? Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. I accept anukul, accept those things which are beneficial in Krishna. If something's not beneficial for pleasing Krishna, I do without it. Something is beneficial for serving Krishna, I'll accept it. So we'll discuss these points some more when we get to the songs on anukul and pratikul. So those are the six, starting with verse number 5. Sad anga sharanagati. As you noticed, when singing the song, the melody changed with this verse number 5. Did you notice that? You want to rewind it? At the very end, we'll sing the song again because it was nice. This is a very good sound system for it. So what he's saying is, the youthful son of Nanda Maharaj, when he hears the prayers of surrender from such a devotee who has cultivated the ways of Sharanagati, he reciprocates with their prayer. So I was discussing this morning, sometimes somebody may feel, I'm praying very sincerely, but I don't feel that there is that reciprocation from God. I was giving the example of during wartime, the two opposing soldiers, armies, they pray to God, please protect me. Remember, God has a dilemma. Just like in this modern current war, someone is playing, in the name of God, we've just done such and such. And the other group is saying, in the name of God, we're going to finish off that person. So whose prayer is God going to hear? And what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying is, one who follows the ways of surrender, the youthful son of Nanda, he responds to their prayer, because the prayer is to receive shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And to achieve that, one's activity should be favorable to the Supreme Lord. And hitting back, that's what children do. One child has a toy, the other child wants the toy, so he hits the child, and the other child hits back. I don't think either of them are very pleasing their parents. Anyway, so one who follows the ways of Sharanagati, surely that person will feel the reciprocation of the Lord. I've said this many times, but one of the most common questions when it comes to as a sannyasi in situations like this where there's some speaking and some questions and answers, one of the most common questions is, when will I feel genuine devotion for the Supreme? I'm chanting, I'm trying to do the anukul and pratikul nicely, do the do's and avoid the don'ts. I'm trying, Maharaj, I'm really trying. I'm chanting my rounds, but I don't feel within my heart. And when will that come? So that's one of the songs that comes towards the end. Kabe, habe bolo se dinamar. When, oh when, will that day come? When? It's the hankering of the Vaishnav. So this text number 5 in the song, Bhaktivinoda, this is the introductory song. So he's saying overall, that will be heard by the Lord, and we'll feel when the Lord is reciprocating, when we follow the ways of Sharanagati. So you want to feel that feeling of bhakti, follow the ways of Sharanagati. Listen carefully, so you'll know how you can access that feeling. And then the last two slokas, he says that Rupa and Sanatan, they, following Lord Chaitanya, they instructed this elaborately, and they did. They instructed it in their writings, and they left it for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. We're benefiting 450 years later from books that they wrote on this subject. And they, by their very example, they perfectly exemplified a life of surrender to Krishna. So as Rupa and Sanatan have taught, I'm begging that they instruct me, and in turn, by so doing, Bhaktivinoda will instruct us. And by our little humble attempt, we'll also try to pass on that same knowledge in disciplic succession. But once again, it's not just an intellectualized knowledge. If it stops there, you really missed out on something very important. I'll make a couple other points. We'll sing the song one more time and we'll conclude. I'd like to read Rupa Goswami's reference to Sharanagati that comes from Nectar of Devotion. In chapter 39, called Ways of Meeting Krishna. That's a nice chapter, huh? Ways of Meeting Krishna. So here's what, how Prabhupada has written this in Nectar of Devotion. In the process of surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are six items. accept everything favorable for devotional service, to reject everything unfavorable for devotional service, to believe that Krishna will always give protection. There's three. To identify oneself with Krishna's devotees. So by process of elimination, I've concluded that that means to understand Krishna as one's maintainer. In other words, he's the father, therefore we're all members of the same family. And the father naturally maintains the members of the family. Fathers like doing that. That's what fathers do. And they like doing that. And Krishna likes doing that. He likes to maintain his devotees. And we are maintained by him, in fact. Once Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, Swamiji, where does your society get all of its money? And Prabhupada said, from Krishna. And the reporter said, yeah, we know from Krishna, but where do you get all your money? And Prabhupada said, from Krishna, just as you get your money from Krishna. And the difference is, you're thinking that you're getting your money from your labor, and we're thinking that we're getting our wealth from Krishna. That's the difference between us and you. But we're both being maintained by Krishna. That's a fact. And Krishna is no poor man, so he maintains us very nicely. So there's four. Protection, maintenance, accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable. To feel always one's inability without the help of Krishna. So that with the help of Krishna, that's self-surrender. I'm subordinate to Krishna, and I'm dedicating whatever it is that I have to Krishna's service. Because whatever I have, it belongs to Krishna, so I'm dedicating it to Krishna's service. If I have some ability, where did the ability come from? Krishna gave that ability. If I have some intelligence, if I have some strength, if I have some wealth, if I have some power of speech, if I have some power of locomotion, if I have anything, let me dedicate that just to Krishna's service. So although I may have some ability, I require to use that in Krishna's service. And the final, and to always think oneself inferior to Krishna, even though one may have full capacity to perform something on his own. Humility. Because we all have some ability to perform something. We can ride a bicycle maybe, play kartals, cook something in the kitchen. We can do something. Tie our shoes. We can all do something. But without Krishna, the quality of humility is, without Krishna's assisting, I can't properly use that ability. Without Krishna being merciful upon me, I will either misuse that ability, or it may be taken away from me, or anything could happen. So I'm dependent upon Krishna. This is the mood of humility. And then this is in chapter 39. It leads to the next chapter, 40, in Nectar Devotion, is called Reverential Devotion. So we'll read some more about reverential devotion later on. I'm going to read now two other references, and I think we'll call it quits for this evening. There's another place where Rupa Goswami speaks about the dedication of body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. And it's a verse that some of you may know. So let's see if I can prompt you and see if you can remember it. It's the verse where Rupa Goswami says, someone even engaged in worldly activities, if it's dedicated to the Supreme Lord, they're considered liberated, even in this life. Okay, for those of you that didn't hear the verse back there. Iha yasya harer dasye. Harer dasye. Those who are servants of Hari, servants of Krishna. Karmana manasa gira. Gira means speech, manasa means mind, and karmana means work or body. Body, mind, and words. One who is fully engaged with body, mind, and words in service to Krishna, even that person may be engaged in day-to-day affairs, like we're all engaged in day-to-day affairs. If any one of us, or any one of anybody, dedicates those activities fully to the Supreme Lord, they're liberated. Even in this lifetime, even right now, already liberated, they are to be considered liberated. Jivan mukta sa uchite. That's Rupa Goswami. And a very similar verse, actually the message is identical, the language is very close, comes from Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Karmana manasa vacha yechutam sharanam gataha. Sharanam gataha. This is sharanagati. Na smarto yamas tesham te mukti pala bhaginaha. Same meaning. One who's surrendered in their body, mind, and words to the service of the Supreme Lord, they're liberated. So the fruit of Sharanagati is what we want. That is, the tight hold that material conditioning has upon us is slackened and cast away. And coming to the position of shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, where our relationship with Krishna awakens and fully blossoms and we experience it moment by moment, that's the fruit of surrender to Krishna by this process. So I'll end. Tomorrow we'll try to cover the first two. I'll cover at least one of the limbs of Sharanagati. So we're going to sing the song again. Those of you that have a paper and want to share it with someone else, that would be nice.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. Thank you.
Discussion on this topic of Sharanagati. His question was, are these six sequential? So that's, I could spend about 10 minutes to responding to that. At least 10, easy. Very natural sequence, however, that comes in the Sharanagati songs, and that is recognizing with great embarrassment and humility the error of my ways of life up to this point, whatever that point is, and with that recognition of false shelters that I've taken, feelings of great humility come in the heart. And then the next in sequence is, let me surrender and dedicate myself to the service of the Lord. And then in sequence, and as I do so, my sense of being protected by the Lord is there. My sense of His maintaining me, it's kind of like an extension of the humility, that is the abandonment of false ego and acceptance of the Lord's dedication of oneself to the Lord's shelter. It follows the other's maintenance and protection, and then kind of like a polishing the whole business is anukul and pratikul, abandoning all things and accepting all things favorable. So there's a natural sequence either way, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur chooses the latter. And it makes sense, and it's very poetic. It matches both reason and feeling. So at least as far as how can one advance on a spiritual path if one is not humble? How can you go anywhere if if you're consumed by or very strongly moved by pride. Not possible. Mataji? Mataji, you have a question? Any? Okay. Anyone over here? Okay.
Maharaj, one of the points we have emphasized in the morning and in this class is that before going to here, we have to strongly think that how I am going to apply the instruction that I am given.
Yeah.
But when the class is going on, this is not there in the forefront. Only when I refer back to the notes, this is coming. It's how to cultivate.
Well, that's not. His question is, did you hear the question? Yes? No. Yes, you heard the question. You didn't hear the question. Okay. Question was, in this morning and again this evening, I emphasized that even before the process of hearing begins, we should be prepared to implement that which we hear. And his personal testimony is, while hearing, that sense of contemplation of how will I apply it was missing. So, how do we cultivate the ongoing sense of applying instructions? It's not so much a matter of technique or the how-to, it's a matter of applying oneself into, you know, so I mentioned it this morning. I gave four things, remember? One has to be seriously desirous to know. Remember from this morning? Then one has to hear from the right source, and then one has to accept in an absolute way. The absolute way means this is from Krishna. It's not, so it may be coming from a book or coming from a person, but it's, the author is Krishna. And the letter has my name on it. It's Krishna's message to me. That's accepting in an absolute way. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You know that verse from first canto? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shlokti Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So, by Bhagavata Seva, that means, Prabhupada explains, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. Hearing, that's service to the book Bhagavat, and then there's the person Bhagavat, and the affinity for the message of the book Bhagavat is by rendering, comes by rendering service to the person Bhagavat. And if we accept that the message of the person Bhagavat is nothing but the message of the book Bhagavat, then I can accept this is from Krishna. It's an absolute message. It's an answer to my heart's desire. Let me accept it in an absolute way. If you can come to that position, you won't space out. Is that expression understood here, space out? Okay. One of our sannyasis calls it the cadet program, space cadet. Bahushaka yanantascha. That's what it means. Bahushaka. Where's your mind? It's out in space somewhere. Many branched. So we have to practice, and then it becomes anything. Take something and practice that something, and it becomes natural for you. Prabhupada's terminology, it becomes second nature. Our nature now is spaced out, and being very concentrated in a purposeful and devoted way, that can become our second nature. Second nature. Just natural. Now we have to practice. It's like riding a bicycle. When you first learn to ride a bicycle, you take a few spills. You don't, but you're determined. You keep, because the capacity to ride the bicycle is there. It takes some practice. And after you've gotten the practice, you still have to be attentive, but it's easy. You cannot ride a bicycle and come back 30 years later and ride a bicycle. I did it. Hadn't ridden a bicycle since I was a teenager. So somebody was recommending that I get some kind of exercise like that, so I rode a bicycle. I went with him somewhere riding a bicycle. You had to ride a bicycle. Didn't have to learn all over again. Become second nature. We still have to be conscious. It's not that the process of bhakti becomes mechanical at any time, but it becomes second nature to be conscious instead of spaced out. We'll speak about that specifically tomorrow with the item of humility. So in the beginning, like you were asking the question this morning about pride. So, okay, from what I heard from class this morning, and common sense, I know that there is pride in my heart, otherwise I'd be impure in devotion. There's some pride in my heart, I accept that. Now, let me try to become humble instead of proud. But I know that it's there, the other is there. So, in a regulative manner, following the vidhi, the rule that I should act humbly, I'll practice it. Practice it. And practice it. It's, to a certain degree, it's external. But there's something internal, the something that's internal is, I'm committed to this objective. My commitment to practice it is my earnestness to follow through. Do you have this term in India to put down earnest money when you're purchasing a house? Does that exist? The term is different?
That was different. The thing is different.
Okay. In America, it's called earnest money. It's actually a dictionary definition of earnest. Prabhupada uses earnest in the Bhagavatam to describe how we should practice. We should practice in earnest. Look it up in the dictionary. I looked it up. Earnest. Some initial... So, I want to buy this house. We agree on the purchase price. I don't have all the money. Right now I have to go to a bank and get a mortgage. But I'll put down some earnest money. And earnest money means I can't take it back. I'm that committed to buy this house. There's a condition: if I don't get the mortgage, you'll give it back. But I'm obliged, morally and legally, to find that mortgage, to follow through. And so you don't have to worry about looking around for another buyer. Here's some earnest money. It's yours. Or we give it to the lawyer that holds on to it. But it's my commitment. So our commitment, our earnestness, is I'll try, I'll practice this. And not just for show, but so that I can achieve the objective of becoming free from false ego. And truly, genuinely humble. And for starters, I'll just be humble before Krishna. I'm insignificant before Krishna, and Krishna knows it, and I know it. There's no reason for hiding the fact. Before Krishna, I'm insignificant. I'm humble before Krishna. At least, and so I'm going to cultivate that, even though I'm proud. Before Krishna, I know I'm very insignificant. So I'll try to think of Krishna, that'll help keep me humble. Practice thinking of Krishna, staying in a humble mood. Regulative way. And gradually it becomes natural, and then it becomes spontaneous, and then it becomes ecstatic, and then it becomes love of God. But I'm not there, I'm way down here, I'm just practicing.
Surrendering is what?
Six bad things.
Yeah, okay. Six bad things. Okay.
They're obstacles. Well, everybody has their Achilles heel. That's a big one. You can remove the feature of any of these six by becoming Shuddha Bhakta. Until you're Shuddha Bhakta, you can cultivate. When lust is transformed again to love, then it's completely gone. Until love of God awakens, there will be some residual lusty attraction. So, there's a saying in American sports, best defense is a good offense. Never heard that one before, right? You've heard that one? Okay. Maybe it's a military. Okay. You've heard that one before? Best defense is a good offense. You're in a competition. You're in a sports competition. So if you're really, really good at scoring, and, you know, then you're anyway, rather than getting into analyzing sports, if you're trying to overcome a problem, if you one source of strength to overcome the problem is to be very, very committed to perform the activity correctly, so in our case, chanting with absorption, and another very, very significant protection is preaching or creating a situation where others can also have that opportunity to chant and practice and hear. It's protection. from that problem. It doesn't annihilate the problem, but it's protection from it. Imagine trying to go to, for example, imagine trying to go to a cave or a forest in a solitary place and absorb oneself in constant chanting. When I'm not, when I still have some lusty desire, where's the mind going to be? Disturbed. So here in an urban situation, there's causes for disturbance also, but if I take the opportunity of this circumstance, many people, and try to help others by making the process of devotional service easily and readily accessible to them, even if they don't take it, if I make that effort, then it's very absorbing and very satisfying and very protective. And one can experience that being protected, that sense of protectedness reassures one of the reality of Krishna. Krishna really exists. I can feel it. The reciprocation of Krishna, I can feel his presence. That's protection from kama, krodha, lobha. And association. If you keep the association of those who have that problem of lustiness well under control, it's a lot easier than if you don't have that association. Then you'll have someone that's out of control. Let's say somebody has an alcohol problem. Should they go into a bar? A drinking place? No. But if they're always with people who are free from that habit, or someone smokes cigarettes or whatever, somebody has a problem, a weakness, best to avoid the association of those that have similar weakness and they have no control over it. Better to associate with those that don't have that weakness or have control over it. Sadhu Sangha. Yeah. Any remaining? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.